Thanks for listening to the Journey podcast. We're glad you're here. Journey exists to engage people in the process of knowing Jesus Christ. We pray that this podcast engages you and encourages you to become more like Him.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. How y'all doing? It's so good to be back home. For those I have not had the opportunity to meet, there's a lot of new faces in this place. I'm Patrick. I was on staff here for 8 years, served at this church for 10 years, and I'm so glad to be back home. Now I have two homes. I have one home in Asheville, and I always have a home here at Journey where I can come back and visit and hang out. I am a retired student pastor. And I say that, and I'm not being funny. I'm telling you right now, I'm straight retired. I'm straight recovering. You know, Now, I still love students. I still love students. But you know what? No more late nights. No more worrying about what they're doing in their cabins at all. Now I just have to worry about what my son does when he goes to camps and all that kind of stuff. But I'm so glad to be here today hanging out with y'all. Before we dive in any further, I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we're going to dive straight in to God's word. God, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here with these amazing people. God, we ask, God, that you continue to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts so we can see your word, receive your word, and hear your word. We thank you so much, God, for just for family. Thank you so much, God, for Journey Community Church, this amazing people, an amazing pastor, and amazing staff. And we just thank you so much, God, for what you do in this place, in this city, and in this community. God, we pray, God, that everything that is said today comes directly from you. And we just thank you so much, God, that we get to do this as a family. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So glad to be here today. You guys are in a series called Never Give Up. Pastor Bobby started the series last week, and I'm doing week two of the series. Several months ago when I was back here, Pastor Bobby asked me would I consider coming back to speak. And I was like, absolutely, man. I would love to come back home and speak. I always got a place to stay when I come here. I get good food when I come here. People take care of me. I may have hugged about 30 or 40 or thousands of people. If you're doing preacher talk, it's been 1,000 people I've hugged this morning already. But I'm so glad to be here, man. But we're in a series called Never Give Up. And this reminds me of a story in 1992 about this guy named Derek Redmond. Derek Redmond had many operations before he ran in the Olympics. And as Derek was getting ready to start his race, he started the race. And when he started the race, something happened in the middle of the race, almost at the beginning of the race. Derek was about 150 meters into the race, and then Derek actually tears his right hamstring, and Derek falls down. He falls down, and as Derek falls down, Derek begins to see that the stretcher and the people are coming to get him. So Derek gets up, and Derek begins to hobble himself all the way to the finish line. And as Derek is hobbling himself all the way to the finish line, his dad comes out of the stands. And his dad grabs him by the hand, and his dad is walking with him and hobbling with him all the way to the finish line. Now, Derek could have given up on the race. He could have stayed there, waited for somebody to come get him, but he didn't. And he almost gets to the point where he's getting ready to cross the finish line, where his dad kind of steps back out of the way, and he allows Derek to finish the race. That day, 65,000 people stood up and an ovation because Derek finished the race, because Derek did not give up. He didn't give up on his dream. He didn't give up on finishing the race. And just like Jesus, who came out of heaven to be with us, it's the same way his dad came out of the stands to be with him. And this is why Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, he says, "So do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day." I don't know many of you, but some of you may have came here today, man. You might be willing to give up on your marriage, be willing to give up on your kids, be willing to give up on your finances, be willing to give up on it all because life just seems so tough. But today I will hope that I can encourage you and help all of us to know that we should never, ever give up. All of us are struggling with different things in our life. All of us have so many different things going on. And I love the text that Pastor Bobby selected and asked me to talk about. In 2 Corinthians, before I dive into the scripture and read it to you, I kind of want to give you the context of what is going on in this particular text. In 2 Corinthians, Paul, who was not known as being a well-known speaker, Paul didn't have a whole lot of money, but Paul lived during a time where they had these guys who were called super apostles. And these guys were guys who were basically just considered to be false prophets. These guys that were well off, they spoke very well. And what they were doing is that they were trying to undermine everything that Paul was teaching to the people. They were saying that success is built in what they have. Success is built in things that they do. And what Paul was saying is that Paul was trying to change their mindset in order for them to see that everything that we do in our lives, every wealth that we have, every connection that we have goes back to Jesus. So not only is Paul trying to change their mind about what is going on, Paul is also trying to be real with them about suffering. He's trying to be real with them because at the end of the day, if we think that trouble is not coming or we're not going to go through things in our lives, we are absolutely wrong. I promise you, if you got kids, your kids are going to get crazy at some point. Let them become teenagers. I'm telling you, they either stink, they try to talk back to you, they do all this crazy stuff. At some point, trouble is coming. If you've been married for any length of time, I promise you, your husband crazy. How do I know? Because I'm crazy. I know it, and they ain't just a husband. The wives are crazy too. Y'all sitting there laughing. No, y'all crazy too. Y'all all crazy. All of us are crazy. We are all crazy people trying to live in the same house. I'm so sorry he left that toilet seat up and you fell down it. I'm sorry, he just crazy. I'm so sorry he didn't. I can't say that. I'm sorry. But in the text, Paul is trying to defend his faith. Paul is trying to set the Corinthians up to let them know, like, hey, your mindset has to shift so that you don't give up. Also in the text, Paul tells them that the things that they're dealing with, it's not flesh and blood. He also tells them that the God of this age has blinded their people's eyes so they can't hear the gospel. And the reason Paul is saying that, because he wants everybody to know that the issues that you are dealing with is not against, people. It is against principalities and high places. He's like, no, our issues are not against flesh and blood. But Paul also continues to talk about there are four different things, four different hardships that happen in this text. First thing is this in verses 7-9. Paul says this. He says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. So regardless of where you find yourself, Paul had every reason to give up. He had every reason to say, man, I'm tired of these people. I'm tired of doing church. He had every reason to give up. But Paul did not give up. He kept going. He was struck down. He was afflicted in every single way, but he kept going. And in verses 10-12, Paul was so convicted. He was so convicted that he wanted people to hear the gospel, that he was willing to die in order for them to get it. He was willing to die in order for people to know about Jesus. He was willing to die in order for people to receive salvation. He wanted them to know about it so bad. But even in that, when we look at it, in all of those verses, Paul kind of sums this whole thing up in the verses that we're going to talk about today. Because at the end of the day, you can't give up. You can't give up. You've got to keep fighting. You got to be like Derek. You got to keep fighting. You got to get up and hobble yourself all the way to the finish line. You can't give up on church. You can't give up on your marriage. You can't give up on your kids because things get tough. And I hope today, man, I want to give you three foundational truths that will help you, even though there are so many more in the text, but I want to give you three that will help you. But before we dive into those three, let's read the text real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 13-18. This is what it says. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believe and so I speak. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us up also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is for your sake, so that as grace extends, more and more to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Verse 16, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. I just said there are several foundational truths in the text, but I only want to talk about three today. The very first one I want to talk about is this. If you're going to have a spirit to never give up, your faith must be rooted in Jesus. Your faith must be rooted in Jesus. Paul says, he says, I believe and so I speak. We also believe and so we speak. What Paul is doing, Paul is reciting Psalms 1, 16 and 10. When the Bible says, I trusted in the Lord when I said I am greatly afflicted. When, regardless of what it is that you go through in your life, all of us are going to have to deal with different things. All of us have to deal with different things, but you've got to make a decision about where my faith is going to be grounded. Is my faith is going to be grounded in people? Is my faith going to be grounded in my spouse? Is my faith going to be grounded in my activities that my kids do? Is my faith going to be grounded in politics? Is my faith going to be grounded? Wherever you ground your faith will determine and help you understand how you deal with issues. It'll help you deal with issues. If your faith is grounded in other things, when trouble comes, because trouble is coming at some point, you've got to make sure that your faith is grounded in Jesus. When Paul writes this, Paul points everything back to Jesus. He doesn't point it back to himself. He points everything back to Jesus. When your faith is grounded and rooted in Jesus, you speak God's word. You live out God's word. You spread God's words. Because at the end of verse 15, this is what it says. Verse 15 says this. He says, for it is for all your sake, so that grace may extend to more and more people. It may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. When your faith is grounded or rooted in Jesus, you have stability in your life. When your faith is grounded and rooted in Jesus, you have gratitude in your life. When your faith is grounded and rooted in Jesus, you have confidence in your life. Why is that, Patrick? I'm glad that you asked. Because at some point, trouble is coming your way. At some point, you're going to get an unexpected bill in the mail. At some point, you're going to get a report that you're not going to be able to deal with. And if your faith is not rooted in Jesus, you're going to begin to focus more on that thing than God. But when your faith is rooted in Jesus, it changes everything. It changes everything. Billy Graham said it this way. If your faith isn't rooted in the Bible, it will wither like a plant pulled out of the soil. When it's not rooted in Jesus. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. He says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. My question that I have for you today, like, where are you building? Like, what house are you building on? Are you building on people? Are you building on your spouse? So in November, we have this thing that happens like every 4 or 5 years, and people just absolutely lose their ever-gotten mind when it comes around. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Go ahead and talk back to me. Go ahead and say it. It's this dang election. And this is the thing. We put more faith in a politician than we do in Jesus. You ain't got to clap. You ain't got to say nothing at all. All I got to do is go look at your Facebook page. I can say Facebook because we'll have a lot of young people here. But young people here, we'll say Snapchat or X or whatever it is we want to call it. We put more faith in stock in those things than we do in Jesus. And what Paul is saying is this, is that my faith has to be rooted in Jesus because I know I cannot give up. Peter, he was preaching God's word in the book of Acts. And what ends up happening, people throw him in jail and they tell Peter that he is not allowed to speak or even mention the name of Jesus. But there's something that happened with Peter in throughout his life, because the last time I checked, Peter, now none of y'all do this. Peter betrayed Jesus. Y'all ain't betrayed Jesus. Church people at Journey, man, they really, really love the Lord. I'm just saying. Peter cuss. Now, none of y'all in here cuss. Y'all don't cuss, do you? Ask for forgiveness and ask Jesus to help you with your potty mouth. You have to say that when you're talking to kids. That's what I tell my kids, watch your potty mouth. But here it is, Peter betrayed Jesus. He said, I didn't know this guy, but there's something that happens in Peter's life that changed everything. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Peter's life was built on Jesus. It was not built on circumstances. It was not built on anything else because Peter could have given up, but he didn't. It also reminds me of a story. I happened to be on call one day at work, and on call is like being on call here, where I got a phone call and they said, Pat, you need to come to the hospital. And I go to the hospital and I walk in the room, and this lady, older lady, couple that had been married maybe 20 plus years, the spouse is dying. He is dying. And the wife looks at me and she says, Patrick, we've had a good marriage. I don't want him to leave, but I know where he's going. And because I know where he's going, my life is rooted in Jesus. I know the pain is coming. I know this is going to hurt. But because my life is rooted in Jesus, I can't put my trust in the fact that he is passing. I got to put my faith in the fact that he is going from this world to be with Jesus. That's what happens when your life is rooted in Jesus. Your perspective and everything changes. So if I'm going to have a spirit or an attitude to never give up, I've got to make sure that my faith is rooted in Jesus. The second foundational that will help you to never give up is that you have to shift your focus from the problem to praise. We don't have an issue focusing on the problem. We don't have an issue focusing on the problem at all. We can manage and know what the problem is. The issue is that we spend more time on the problem than we do on God fixing the problem. We spend more time focusing on asking God to fix our spouse versus asking God to fix us. And this is what Paul says. Whenever you shift your problem to praise, what ends up happening is that your perspective changes. You see things totally different. Not only that, your emotions change. Not only that, your posture changes. There's something different about you. Why? Because I am rooted in Jesus and I understand that I cannot focus on my problem. I got to focus on the person that can fix my problem. And when I focus on the person that can fix my problem, I begin to give praise to the person that can fix it. There are four different things that Paul talks about in this text. Four different things. This is what Paul does. Paul kind of breaks it down. He talks about the present and he talks about the future. First thing is this. Paul says this. He says, though our outer self is wasting away. Let me go ahead and let you on a news bulletin right now. Y'all getting old. We all getting old. Let me tell you how I know I'm getting old. I got hair growing in places, man. I never thought I'd ever have hair growing in. I'm just saying. It's growing in my ears. I mean, what in the world is going on? And then not only that, I'm also losing hair. Right there. My wife told me one day, she's like, I combed out my hair and it was looking like it was all puffed up on this side. And she's like, where the other at? I'm like, girl, let me tell you where it's at. It's in that sink. That's where it's right there in that sink. Because as I comb it, it just be coming out. It's just coming out. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm getting old, Lord. I don't feel the same way I feel. But you know what? I still look good, though. Don't get it twisted. Won't get it twisted now. I'm a good-looking man. Praise Jesus. She knows it too. I'm just saying, I may be getting old, man. I'm like, wine, man. You know. Now, I'm not saying you need to have wine in your house. Do not go home saying I said it. I say I'm like wine. The older wine, it gets better. I'm just saying. But I am getting old. How do I know I'm getting old, man? I wake up in the morning, stuff just hurts. It just hurts. Like my legs hurt. I be limping, getting out of bed. Jesus. And my grandma tried to tell me that years ago, boy, you ain't gonna be like that always. I'm like, grandma, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. But then I realized, like, man, I'm getting old. I don't have the same energy that I used to have about, I don't have the same energy I had like 5 years ago. 5 years ago, man, I could have went to camp, boy, I would have been on 10. Ooh, let go, let go. Like now, I told y'all, I'm retired and I'm recovering. I'm recovering from all that pain them teenagers caused me. I'm getting old. But this is what Paul talks about. Paul says, he says, my outer self is wasting away. He's talking about the present. But then Paul also says, he says, my inner self is being renewed day by day. How does my inner self get renewed day by day? My inner self get renewed day by day because I'm spending time in God's word. I'm spending time in God's word. Paul also says this. Here's another thing. He said, for this light momentary affliction. He's talking about this. The issue that is going on right now. Paul says, regardless of how big you think the issue is, it is minute and small in the eyes of God. Why is that? Because it is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. When you look at your life in the grand scheme of things, it is very minute what you're dealing with. It's small in God's eyes. Why? Because there is something greater for us in the future. I'm not going to focus on the problem. I'm going to focus on the praise. Paul also says this. He says, as we look not to the things that are seen. I'm not going to focus on what I see, but I'm going to focus on the things that I cannot see. I cannot see that God is moving. I know that God is moving even when I don't know that he's doing it. He is still doing it. Then Paul also says this. He says, for the things that are seen are transient. That he said, they're temporary. My grandma used to say this thing here, man. She used to say this thing here. Baby, trouble don't last always. And I didn't get that as a young man, but now I get it. I get that trouble don't last always. How do you know trouble don't last always? Last time I checked, there are four seasons. Could you imagine it was summer all the time in Georgia? Jesus, oh gosh, you walk outside and you just sweating. I mean, like it's 90 plus degrees in the middle of December. Now it does happen here. I think the Georgia weather is bipolar. It happens here, I'm telling you, it happens. But could you imagine if it was like that all the time? Could you imagine if it was spring all the time, if Masters happened every single year, every single, see if it was just spring all the time. Could you imagine if it was winter all the time? Could you imagine if it just rained all the time? Could you just imagine if all that just happened? But you know what? Just like seasons don't last long, the season that you're in your life won't last long either. Why? Because at the end of the day, God is in control of the season, which means God is also in control of your life. He's also in control of your life. It does not last forever. It doesn't last forever. Yes, you're going to get old. Yes, you're going to get old. I'm so sorry. It ain't enough Botox, Nutox, or whatever you want to call it, gonna fix it. I'm telling you, you are going to get old. You can work out till you cannot work out anymore. I'm telling you, I've been doing it, and man, every time I look, it's this thing right here that won't go away. And I'm like, man, what is, ain't enough sit-ups in the world I can do to it. It won't go away. Why? Because the older I get, the harder it's me to lose this stuff, man. I wish somebody would have told me, Pat, you cannot eat fried chicken with hot sauce and collard greens and mac and cheese all the time. So I wish somebody would have told me that. It's not good for your health. I'm just saying. I'm sorry. I'm chasing rabbits. Here we go. I got to make sure I shift my focus from the problem to praise. Regardless of what it is that you're dealing with right now in your life, it is not bigger than the glory God has for you. It's not bigger than the reward that God has for you. David said it this way in Psalms 34, 1 through 3. David says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear of it and be glad. Then David also, he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. David is in a point of madness, but David is not focused on his problem. David's focused on giving the person that changes everything praise. When was the last time you blessed the Lord at all times? When was the last time you gave God praise because you didn't have? When was the last time you gave God praise because your spouse, even though they're crazy, you still gave God? When was the last time you gave God praise regardless because of what was going on in your life? Because we don't have an issue focusing on the problem. The issue that we have is focusing on the God that saves us. We've got to shift our focus. If you're going to have a spirit to never give up, you cannot focus on your problem all day long. You can't focus on your problem because there are going to be an issue that's going to come your way that you cannot change, that your money cannot get you out of. Your money can't get you out of. I was having a conversation with one of the members at the church, and this lady, she has a year to live, a year, because she's dying of cancer. And she realized, like, man, there's nothing that can change right now at all other than the fact that I just got to make sure I worship Jesus. I cannot focus on the problem. I can't focus on it. I know you want to give up. I know you're tired of him. I know you want to give up, but you cannot give up. Why you can't give up? Because there are other people that are watching you. Your kids are watching you. The church is watching you. And I can't give up. I can't focus so much on my problem. I got to focus on the person that can change my problem. That was a story in the book of Matthew where Jesus is having this conversation and he's telling the disciples that he's got to go and he's going to be crucified. He's going to be crucified. He's going to die. Old Peter, old famous Peter, the cusser, old church member, pulls Jesus to the side. You know what he's saying to him? He's like, Jesus, dude, this can't happen, Jesus. Jesus, you cannot do this. You can't go to the cross and die. And this is what Jesus says. So let me read it to you. I don't want it to be my words. I want it to be Jesus' words. This is what Jesus says. But he says, but he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are setting your mind on the thing. You are not setting your minds on the things of God, but on the things of man. And that's what we do. That's what we do. Could you imagine what life would have been like had Jesus been more focused on the fact that he was separated from the Father when he says, not my will, but let your will be done. Focusing on the problem that he's going to die, but he's also focused on the fact that what's going to happen when he dies, because when he dies, it gives us the ability to have a relationship with him. We don't focus so much on the problem. We focus more on the praise. And that's what ends up happening in our lives. No matter whether it's getting out of debt, whether it's going through a divorce or just a parenting, it's all of you can't focus so much on the issue. You got to focus on something else. You got to focus on the fact that God has the ability to do exceedingly abundantly above anything you can ask or imagine. You can't focus on that. That's how you have a spirit to never give up. The third foundational truth that will help you to never give up is this. You have to be relentless in pressure. Because this too shall pass. Verse 17 says this, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. It's going to pass. It's not going to be this way all the time. It's not going to be this way forever. I've had conversations with people, even in this room, about their kids. And we're like, man, I want to just give up. I'm so tired of them right now. But you didn't. And you can't give up. You can't give up. There are people in this room right now where you're at the point of getting ready to throw in the towel on your marriage because your spouse just refused to change. You can't give up. There are people in this room who have got a terrible report from the doctor, terrible report from the job, and you're ready to give up, but you can't give up because this too shall pass. Paul says this light momentary affliction is light in the eyes of God. There is no burden that is too heavy for our God. There's no burden that's too heavy for him because when you begin to be relentless in pressure, you take God at his word. You believe in his word. Why? Because if he tells us that he promised never to leave us nor forsake us, we got to believe him at his word. Not only that, your faith grows when you go through pressure. Your faith grows when you go through challenges. And the last time I checked, everybody wants to grow in their faith. Everybody wants to grow, but nobody wants to be challenged. That's just like saying I want to lose weight. If I want to lose weight, I can't stuff my, I can't. I've been saying I want to lose weight since the beginning of the year. I'm just saying. Ask me how much weight I lost. Now you can ask, Pat, how much weight have you lost? I'm glad you asked that question. Not a single pound, Kev. Not one single pound, man. I get on that scale and I look and it says the same thing it did 5 days ago. But this too shall pass. I'm just saying. When Paul makes this statement, man, these are not just mere words that Paul is making. Paul is so dependent on God. Paul was beaten with rods, thrown into prison, legs in stocks, yet he praised God in the middle of the night. He was in a raging storm, shipwrecked, and Paul still gave God all the praise. Why? Because Paul knew that this too shall pass. Regardless of what it is that you're dealing with in your life, it's going to pass at some point. This is why we don't give up. This is why in marriage, when people are going through different things, and I've had conversations with spouses, is that we want the other spouse to change, but we're not willing to change ourselves. We focus so much on what the person is not doing that we don't focus on what the person is doing. And then we make statements like this. They'll never change. They'll never change. You know what? You know what? I agree. But boo-boo, how about you change too? I'm just saying. How about you change too? How about you change too? And when you begin to work at that thing, man, you got to know that this thing shall pass. Dr. King said it this way. He says, if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward. You have to keep moving forward. You can't stop right now. Had Derek stopped, there would never been an inspiration for people watching all over YouTube. This guy got up and kept walking. He hobbled himself all the way to the finish line. The Bible says this in Romans 8:28-18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time is not worthy comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. At some point, it's going to pass. The children of Israel was in slavery for 400 years. But the one thing they did was that they called out to God and they got out of slavery. God delivered them. At some point, deliverance is coming. It's coming. But you've got to continue to seek God. Your faith has to be rooted in Him. That's how it starts. There's at one point in my life, man, this is before I got to Journey, where I was about to give up on church. I was about to give up on ministry. My wife, we had moved here some 15, six, no. We've been married now 16. Don't even play. I know exactly how long I've been married. Don't even play like that. I'm telling you right now. 17 years, dog. July 14th, 2007. Don't play. I know exactly. I told you now. I'm getting old, but I ain't that old. I'm just saying. But that was a point, man, in ministry. I got fired from a church. I got fired from a job. Fired. Pat, we need you to leave. Showed up on a Sunday morning, and they said, you need to leave. Like, and said, Pat, if you don't leave, we're going to call the cops. True story. Called my wife, and I said, Mika, stop getting dressed. We can't come to church. She's like, what in the world is going on? I'm like, I just got fired. I got fired. And I could have gave up. I said to myself, man, I don't want to deal with church people anymore. Like, if this is how church people act, like, I just don't want to deal with that. I just don't. Kept moving forward. I came to this place. And this place was a place of rescue for me. It was a place where God allowed me to heal. It was a place where I was allowed to grow. It was a place where God's word was being taught. It was a place where I began not to focus so much on the problem, but I began to give praise to God. It was a place where I began to not focus on so much how the person treated me, but I began to focus on the person that has the ability to change everything. It was a place where I knew I had to be relentless, because that too passed. In regards to where you may find yourself right now, whether it's your job or in your marriage, God has the ability to change everything. So you can't give up. You can't give up because God didn't give up on us. And today, you could be in the place where you're like, man, I'm kind of like, I want to give up on life, but I need to give my life to Jesus. You could be in the place where, hey man, I want to get baptized. I've given my life to Jesus, but I've been kind of like, just kind of going through this whole church thing, and I want to give my life to you. You could be in the place where you're like, man, I'm just trying to find community. I'm just trying to find ways to do life with people. But regardless of where you find yourself, please know this. God did not give up on us, and we can't give up on him. There was a prayer that I wrote, and I want to close out service with this. You can copy it down if you want. If you have YouVersion, it's also listed in YouVersion. And this is what the prayer says. It says this: Jesus, please hear my prayer. I have wanted to give up many times, but when I acknowledge your goodness, your grace, and your love for me, it encourages me to keep going. It doesn't matter where I find myself mentally, physically, financially, or spiritually. All I have to do is call on you. So today, I'm calling on you to help me see things the way you see things, so I can be more like you. I will not give up on you, because you did not give up on me. Amen.
Thanks again for listening today. If you need prayer or help taking your next step, email our team at nextsteps@journeycommunity.net.